from really my mid to early 20s, I have been very committed to the ecumenical cause, because it has always seemed to me that as Christians we have far more in common than we have which divides us. And increasingly over the last decades, we have found that there's been a rising tide of secularism. There have been people coming into this country in increasing numbers who are of different world faiths and ideologies. And I think it's very important for us as Christians to get our act together and to give a common witness to what we believe. I was a member of the Methodist Roman Catholic International Commission for 20 years, from about 1987 to about 2007. That was a body which was set up shortly after Vatican II, which the 50th anniversary of which we're commemorating now, when, you know, under the late and great John the 23rd, the wind of change blew through the Vatican, and the Roman Catholic Church opened its heart and mind to persons of other Christian persuasions. Methodist Roman Catholic International Commission was one of the first ones to be set up in 1967, and it meets in five-year cycles and discusses things of mutual interest. The most recent document they produced was just last year, called Encountering Christ the Saviour, Church and Sacraments. And last year, the International Commission produced a document which synopsizes the 40 years of dialogue which had gone before. That one's called Together in Holiness. And it gives an overview of 40 years of working together as Christians who are Catholic and Christians who are Methodist.
And would you say that that report was hopeful, gave... What was the tone and tenor of it?
I believe it is hopeful. When we got to the parlous position we were in the beginning of the 20th century, which is generally regarded as being the start point for the modern ecumenical movement, it had taken us a couple of thousand years to get there. We can't sort of wave a magic wand and hope it'll all over be healed and sorted out in a few years. It takes time. It takes time to build up trust and friendship. It takes up time to do the theological work as we gradually push through the undergrowth that has tended to clog up our relationships with each other and find out what it is we hold in common. And fundamentally, we hold in common what Paul said to the Christians in Rome, in the letter to the Romans. Anyone who can say Jesus Christ is Lord and know himself to be saved is saved. And that's the important thing, not the sort of secondary things which on the surface divide us.
Are times as favourable toward the ecumenical endeavour, do you think, as they were when John the 23rd opened those windows?
Well, I think John the 23rd was a shock to everybody's system, thanks be to God, and I do believe he's the one who should be getting made a saint. I think that the winds of change did blow through the Vatican. There was a novelty about it. There was huge hope. But when people set into the slog of working through what it actually means to come more closely together, then I think the thing plateaued. And that's almost biblical. You know, after the resurrection, the disciples and the women with them sat around in an upper room waiting for Pentecost. Is it going to happen? So there's a sense in which the churches are faithfully moving on, praying, reflecting, working together, waiting for that Pentecostal moment when the creative leap will be made and we can recognize each other fully as churches. I think that will be the important point. I think what sometimes impedes people is that they confuse the word unity with the word uniformity. We will never be uniform. Because as soon as we try to be, there'll be little breakout groups. I mean, Paul had this problem with the Corinthians. But there can be unity, unity in purpose, unity in outlook, unity in faith. It just works itself out in different ways. But the important thing is that in the process of working it out for ourselves, we don't unchurch each other. And that has tended to be the case.
So you think that the unchurching, do you think that unchurching is more likely now or is less likely? Given the current climate, there are some people who feel that there have been certain blows dealt to ecumenism, perhaps from Rome.
When I say unchurching, I mean failing to regard each other as churches. I think there is a real move forward because nearly all the international dialogues are looking at ecclesiology, if you like, the science of what church is. I think there have been things that have impeded or provided hurdles for the ecumenical movement to surmount. Some would say that the ordination of women in some of the churches of the Reformation has caused a stumbling block. But then there are as many differences within each of our churches as there are between them. And that, you know, the ordination of women, we've just seen this week how the vote in the Church of England General Synod still has gone against the making of women bishops. And that is sad. And there are those, for example, in a Methodist church who would say, well, sorry, we believe that women can hold every position in the church that a man can hold. So there have been things. Not every Bishop of Rome has been as far-seeing and as visionary as John the 23rd. But then sometimes we do need to take a halt and take stock of where we're at and where we're moving to. And maybe that's the position we're at the moment. What is required of all of us is both faith and faithfulness.